Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our dear Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text of God for our special meditation on this New Year's Eve is recorded in the Lamentations of Jeremiah, chapter 3, which reads in verse 40 the following words. Let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord. This is our text. In the name of Jesus Christ, our never-changing Lord and Savior, beloved hearers of His Word. Time passes, and much change doth bring, and sets a bound to everything. Thus writes the beloved hymn writer concerning our life here in this world. With every passing day, hey, with every passing hour and minute and second, the circumstances of life shift. Sometimes very gradually, almost imperceptibly, but sometimes very suddenly, from one extreme to another. Many of the factors which govern those changes are things over which we poor, weak, and miserable, sinful human beings have absolutely no control whatsoever. While others, particularly those that affect our life and impact our life negatively, are situations of our own making. Perhaps the temporal consequences of our own sins. The temporal consequences or the result of our own foolishness. To be sure, when things are looking up in people's lives, they seem rather satisfied. They seem rather satisfied with themselves, with when changes occur that are positive for them. And they like to take credit for those changes, saying, with the heathen, my hand my might and the power of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth, or this success in my life. But oh, when their lives suddenly take a change for the worse. For example, when disaster strikes, be it a large disaster or a small one, when they suffer a blow to their health, to their economic conditions, to their prestige here in this world, and to their security, they immediately begin to whine and complain. They don't whine and complain to themselves as if this were somehow to be laid at their door, but they blame everybody else. They blame the boss, they blame the neighbor, they blame friends, they blame relatives. Some speak of life as if it were some kind of game of chance, wherein they were dealt a bad hand in a game of poker, as it were. And then others outright blame God, saying, God could have kept this from happening, you know. Why he didn't do that, I'll never know. But he is responsible in the end for all of this. And he has to assume the blame for all of my sorrows and for all of my reverses. Now, contrary to the widely accepted notion among the children of this world that on New Year's Eve, church is the last place you should be, but this is a night for partying, for blowing off all the troubles of the past year in booze and bubbly, and for engaging in reckless and even raunchy behavior, to kiss off the old year, hopefully to forget what you've done tonight so that you don't have to think about it tomorrow, and then to start clean on New Year's Day. We Christians, of course, know better than that. We recognize, according to God's Word, that a day like New Year's Day is a wonderful opportunity for sober-minded reflection and soul-searching. This could, after all, be the last chance we have this year sincerely to repent of all of our sins, especially those of which we are aware this past year. And for preparation to depart this fickle and ever-changing world of wickedness and vice, to depart this life as Simeon was certainly ready to do in peace, according to God's word, he that believeth on him is not condemned. He that believeth on him and is baptized shall be saved. It's also a time to take stock of all of the blessings that God has bestowed upon us this last year, to reflect upon how wisely we have used all of those blessings, or in some cases, how irresponsibly we have wasted many of them, both temporal and spiritual blessings and opportunities. And clearly, New Year's Eve is a special opportunity to look ahead at the coming year, resolving with God's help and by His grace to amend our sinful life of the past and to make more diligent use of His blessings in the future. Now, the children of this world make what they like to call New Year's resolutions, conscious decisions on their part, by their own power and determination to change things in their lives, hopefully for the better, to get their act together, or some such expression which they use to indicate their wanting to structure their life in a more positive way. But what they fail to reckon with is the fact clearly spelled out in the Scriptures that without the Lord's blessing upon them, their best-intentioned resolves are doomed to failure. For it is God which worketh in us both to will and to do of His good pleasure. They are doomed to failure. They are doomed to become the butt of jokes on the part of those who have heard them make resolutions like this in the past and have witnessed their miserable failure. And such people are also sick and tired of hearing their lame excuses for why those resolutions did not turn out as they expected. But in this brief text of God's Word before us this evening, we have, my dearly beloved Christian brethren, the perfect model for our truly God-pleasing resolve as we approach the new year. This is a two-pronged Christian resolve upon which all the other resolutions we might make must depend if they are to meet with success. The first of these is that we scrutinize our lives in the mirror of God's holy law and truly repent of our sins against Him and against one another. And the second part is that we cast ourselves in sincere faith upon our Lord Jesus for forgiveness of our many sins, for strength to amend our lives in evidence of our faith, and in anticipation of the blessings that only He can bestow upon us for our lives here on earth, and especially for our everlasting happiness in heaven. The prophet Jeremiah exhorts us, as he exhorted ancient Jerusalem, which had been laid waste and completely decimated by its enemies at the time of the Babylonian captivity, let us search and try our ways. When we examine our lives, particularly with reference to the year now drawing to a close, we must do so not according to a standard that is comfortable for us, not according to a measuring stick that makes us seem taller than we are, not according to a trick mirror in a carnival that warps what we see and continues to change from time to time until we can live with what we behold in that mirror. But we must first of all search our ways, Jeremiah tells us, and examine ourselves in the mirror of God's holy law, which is the perfect reflection and the perfect image of exactly what we look like in the sight of God. It is that perfect standard according to which all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, the Bible tells us. And that word all includes, of course, you and me and every individual human being of all times and places. When that law says, thou shalt not, and in our search of ourselves we find that we have done the forbidden deed, the thing which God has told us not to do, we know that we have sinned. When that law of God says, thou shalt, and in searching our ways, we find that we've neglected to do what God in His Word explicitly prescribes or requires, we know that we have sinned. And it's not that God merely expects us to do the best we can, as the children of this world would like to imagine, but it demands perfection in thoughts, desires, words, and deeds. Ye shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. And who among us, who among anyone in this world with any common horse sense, would be so downright unrealistic, dishonest, and arrogant so as to claim perfection for himself in his behavior, either overt behavior which people can see or inward behavior which that person knows full well is his to account for. Jeremiah also says, try your ways. That is, test out what you have done. Put your feet to the fire, as it were, as to what you have done and have not done according to that same perfect standard. And if your works do not measure up to the Lord's expectation of you in His holy law, you know that you've sinned. You know that you are guilty before Him. And this is, after all, the chief purpose of God's holy law, namely to show us our sins, to convict us in our conscience, to make us feel guilty and ashamed before God. For it is only when we are on a real genuine and heartfelt guilt trip, that we realize our utter helplessness to do anything good toward earning God's favor, and our utter hopelessness before God, and therefore our dire need for a Savior. God's law is meant to bring us to our knees with the jailer at Philippi, who, despairing of any goodness or merit or worthiness to even stay alive, shouted out, "What must I do to be saved?" It causes us to smite upon our breast with the publican in the temple and to say, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Because if judged by my works, I would surely be damned." When we survey our lives of even this past calendar year alone, when we scrutinize our lives, not just take a glance, quick glance at them, when we try them in a mirror of God's law, we must wonder why we have not been consumed by God in His anger. And we are compelled to admit and to acknowledge with Jacob of old, "I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant." And with the psalmist David, Psalm 51, "I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. Have mercy upon me, O Lord. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise." And that is the first part of our truly God-pleasing resolve this New Year's Eve, our dearly beloved brethren, that we acknowledge our many sins and shortcomings in God's sight, that we sincerely grieve over the fact that we have offended our God and Lord by what we have done and by what we have failed to do according to His law, that we cast out any semblance of excuse or self-defense or justification for what we have done or neglected to have done, and strip ourselves of all pride and arrogance. For then and only then are we truly contrite, penitent sinners who have thrown ourselves solely upon God's mercy for forgiveness. But then the Lord's prophet also tells us, let us turn again to the Lord. Let us remember His loving kindness to His enemies, His loving kindness to you and to me, His loving kindness to all mankind in sending His only begotten Son on the first Christmas night to be born a true man, so that He could take our place under the demands of this perfect law, so that He could keep it as a true man in our place, so that He could redeem us from all iniquity and be our Redeemer, our Savior, our Rescuer from the guilt of our sins. Let us turn again unto the Lord, remembering His promise to poor contrite sinners. "He that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. He that believeth on Him is not condemned. For the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Yes, it was because of Jesus, whose name, remember, means Savior, that because of which God in heaven reconciled the whole world of wretched sinners, of ungodly folks like you and me, unto himself, not imputing or charging their trespasses unto them. The world. That includes you and me. And this is the best news ever to strike the human ear. You can't find this news written anywhere else but in the Scriptures. These are the good tidings, the gladsome tidings of the gospel that brings peace to our souls that are fearful because of their guilt, that bring calm to hearts that are anxious and fearful because of their prospect of punishment, that brings real joy to spirits sad and dejected because of their alienation from God by nature. All of those benefits, my dearly beloved hearers, are yours and mine when we cling in confidence to Jesus and his precious merits alone, rendered to God in your place and mine as the cause of our reconciliation by the Father in heaven. Indeed, without this second part of our New Year's resolve, namely to hold fast to Jesus and his merits alone for our salvation, we would all be just so many sad, depressed, and hopeless individuals for whom New Year's or the New Year holiday and the foreseeable future and the not-so-foreseeable future hold nothing but fear and dread. Not only at Christmas time, but especially at the turn of the year, the suicide rate among the children of this world is astounding. Because they are consumed with guilt over their sins of the past, or failures, or their poor decisions, whatever Oprah would have us call them. And they are hopeless for their future, because they have nothing to look forward to. But since by God's grace, you and I do hold fast to our Savior for forgiveness, pardon, peace, and real joy, we also have with him the other benefits that accompany our salvation. Benefits that make this new year ahead bright indeed for us Christians. For when we resolve, by God's grace, to cling to our Lord Jesus as our Savior from sin, from death, and the power of the devil, when we make that resolve by the power of His Holy Spirit through the gospel, we're guaranteed also His Holy Spirit's help for amending our sinful lives, for turning things around, as the children of this world use the expression. In confidence that by His almighty power, as He sanctifies our lives as Christians, He gives us the ability to overcome sin and to do good works. Not to earn His favor, but to praise His favor. And that's why all of our other resolutions and good intentions hang on this primary Christian resolve. For without His Holy Spirit's help, we could never carry out even one of those resolutions. We also have, as a fringe benefit of our Christian resolve of faith this New Year's Eve, the confidence that God will bless us in our lives here in this world and will turn all of our misfortunes into good for us. That He will defend us against all dangers and guard and protect us from all evil. That He will preserve us in the true and saving faith by the operation of His Holy Spirit in our hearts through His precious Word, in which He will cause us to continue. And that He will finally lead us to glory everlasting. That, my dearly beloved brethren, is the confidence that counts. The confidence that really does us any good as we look even now through a darkened glass into the year ahead. For we don't know what's coming down the road for us during the year 2015. But we do know that come tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword, even if we are violently attacked by somebody, whatever trials may lie ahead for us, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Romans 8:37. What a powerful assurance. The unbelievers of this world don't have that. That's why 2015 is a huge and dark question mark for so many of them. Now, this is why our Christian resolve for the new year must be the twofold or two-pronged resolve in our text for this evening. Freely to acknowledge and repent of our sins and iniquities before God. And confidently to cling to Jesus as our one and only Redeemer. For then we can meet the new year head on, without any fear, without any dread, without any anxiety whatsoever. Confiding in our Savior and cheerfully following in His steps, nourished regularly by His wonderful bread of life. Then we can declare with the Apostle Paul, I am persuaded. I've been persuaded by God's precious word, and I am persuaded in my innermost being that neither death nor life, both of them possibilities for us in 2015, nor angels above or below, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 8:38. God grant to each and every one of us such New Year's confidence as we sincerely make and diligently follow through on our truly God-pleasing resolve this evening. Our resolve for the new year, our resolve for the year ahead of us and for all the years to come. Let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord. God grant that to us by His Holy Spirit. through and for the sake of our dear Savior, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And the peace of God, which passeth all human understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.